Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we're going to talk about something local in our travel unit.
Cool.
In our travel unit, we talk about destinations overseas quite a bit, but we also talk about the wonderful destinations right here under our noses, right in Taiwan. Today, we're going to go down to Hualien, a wonderful paradise on Earth.
I've lived in Hualien. It was some time ago when I was a missionary, and it's beautiful. We like to call it heaven. Many of the foreigners here think it's the prettiest place in Taiwan. There are many beautiful places in Taiwan, though.
Yeah.
The scenery here is great.
Yeah, somebody told me once about a place called Hualien once. I didn't know what they were talking about, but I realized that that's kind of a Taiwanese accent.
Yeah.
Hualien. Hualien is how it's supposed to be pronounced. But we'll talk about wonderful scenic and spectacular Hualien in today's program. So let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now, and we'll be right back. On the rugged east coast of Taiwan lies beautiful Hualien County, a haven for nature lovers. This must-see destination faces the Pacific Ocean on the east,and the steep and mighty Central Mountain Range on the west. The lush region was not originally named for its greenery, glittering coasts, or mountainous landscape. Instead of Hualien, the county used to be called Kurei, after the Sakizaya Taiwanese aborigines. It wasn't until 1851 that the Han Chinese settlers renamed the region Huilan due to the whirling waters in its delta. Travel 15 kilometers north of Hualien City,and you'll reach Taroko National Park, home to Taroko Gorge and one of Taiwan's top tourist attractions. The park covers 920 square kilometers of land rich in marble-walled canyons, winding tunnels, and waterfalls all amidst a sea of green vegetation. Taroko's diverse environments also contain almost all of the biogeographical zones in Taiwan, which makes it a perfect sanctuary for half of the island's plant and animal species.The real jewel of Taroko, though, is the Liwu River, whose course to the sea has carved deep valleys and ravines through the rock. Besides its magnificent beauty, this river was once famous for gold panning, a trend that can be traced back to the 17th century when the Dutch landed on the east coast of Taiwan. No trip to Hualien would be complete without visiting Chi Xing Tan Beach.This body of water is actually a crescent-shaped bay and serves as an excellent place to view the seven stars of the Big Dipper, the site of which inspired the beach's name, which means Seven Stars Lake.
Okay, guys, let's dive right in. We're going to be talking about a beautiful place in Taiwan that I love, and that's Hualien. We're calling it...spectacular and scenic both. So if something's spectacular, it's quite wonderful to see. Spectacular comes from the word spectacles, which is what we used to call eyeglasses back when we had, cowboy days. I think of the Wild Wild West. They were spectacles.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 1800s. Now, if it's scenic, you're using scenic as an adjective to describe a place that has beautiful scenery, and that's Hualien.
That is Hualien, so it's spectacular and it's scenic. And also, if you're talking about the east coast of Taiwan, especially between Su'ao and Hualien,
Yeah. You've
got a rugged east coast. Rugged means you've got lots of cliffs, and it's very uneven. It's rocky. It goes up and down. It's not smooth. So this is the rugged east coast of Taiwan. There lies beautiful Hualien County, which is a haven for nature lovers. Now, all over Taiwan seems to be losing its counties. There are fewer and fewer Xians out there. Taoyuan Xian is now Taoyuan City. Tainan, Kaohsiung, Taichung, they've all become cities and not the counties anymore. But Hualien is still rather sparsely populated, so it's still a county there. It hasn't become Hualien City totally yet, but in any case, we're describing Hualien County as a haven for nature lovers. A haven usually is a safe place where you can get some protection. But in this particular case, it's referring to just an area that people can go to. It's kind of a getaway, a place they can escape to and enjoy nature.
That's right. Now, this must-see destination faces the Pacific Ocean on the east and the steep and mighty Central Mountain Range on the west. So that's where it's located. We're going to talk about where it is here. It's a must-see destination means, wow, you got to go. If it's a must-see attraction, a must-see movie, a must-read book, we're using a lot of those sorts of phrases these days. It's a must-see. It's a must-have. Maybe you need something in your life and you can't live without it. It's a must-have device. Well, this is a must-see destination, a place where you definitely want to go. A destination is where you're headed. So here it says it faces the Pacific Ocean. We've got different oceans out there. This is just one of them, but the Pacific Ocean on the east, and then you've got the steep and mighty Central Mountain Range on the west. When you say something steep, it goes from a low level to a high level very quickly, and if it's mighty, we use that word to say something is quite impressive. Maybe it has a lot of power. When we were growing up, there was a cartoon named Mighty Mouse, and he supposedly had Superman powers. This is mighty because it's quite big. So sometimes we'll use mighty to talk about its size.
Mm-hmm. And its power. I guess those mountains do look like they would have a lot of power.
Yes.
This is the Central Mountain Range. This is to the west of Hualien. So it's quite an impressive sight to see if you're in Hualien City. You look up and my goodness, there are a whole bunch of mountains there covered with clouds and stuff like that. And so if you have an area that has lots of vegetation, you can describe the area as being lush. And the mountains in Taiwan are very lush. They're all covered with vegetation, most of them in any case. And the lush region of Hualien was not originally named for its greenery. Also, it was not named for its glittering coasts, and it was not named for its mountainous landscape. Greenery just refers to plants in general, plants all over the place, the greenery.
Mm-hmm.
Glittering, to glitter means light kind of flashes on and off in different places. The ocean glitters at the sunset, for example, or at the sunrise. You see all these little flashes of light. They're reflections of the sun. Off the water. And, of course, if an area has a lot of mountains, we say it's mountainous. Like Austria is a very mountainous country.
That's right. Well, instead of Hualien, the county used to be called Kirei. Now, this was a name that came from the Sakiraya Taiwanese Aborigines there at the time. So it's a word from their language. Now, if you're talking about the Aborigines, you're talking about the people who have been in a particular area the longest. So it's hard to even go back and find out where they originally came from. So in America, it would be the American Indians. So this is a word that came from their language, so I'm not really sure what it means. I'm sure it means beautiful, though.
Yeah, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're not 100% sure of the pronunciation there because there probably aren't a lot of people left who can say that word, actually. But it wasn't until 1851 that the Han Chinese settlers renamed the region Hualien, due to the whirling waters in its delta. So this is how it was named by the Han Chinese settlers. I understand the word Han there does refer to Chinese people from the mainland there, a general term for all of them, although I think some scholars argue that, oh no, the settlers at that time were not Han. They were a different race, but that's controversial. I'm not going to get into that too much, but let's just say it just refers to the Chinese people coming over from the mainland at the time. And they thought, Kirei, we can't pronounce that. Let's call it something else. Besides, there are these whirling waters in the delta there. They're kind of like whirlpools, maybe, the water kind of going around and stuff. Hey, that's a more like a Hualien to us, so they renamed the area Hualien.
Ah, that often happens when new people come in to settle, and if they have more power, they typically get to rename the place. So if you travel 15 kilometers north of Hualien City, you'll reach Taroko National Park, which is so beautiful. And that's where Taroko Gorge is located. It's one of Taiwan's top tourist attractions. I remember when my mom came here years ago to pick me up and take me home, her reaction was just what mine had been the first time I saw Taroko Gorge was, oh, it's just breathtakingly beautiful. So if you're talking about a gorge, guys, you're talking about a really narrow valley. It's usually between really high mountains, usually steep rocky walls are on either side, and sometimes there's some sort of water running through the middle. It could be a stream or a river.
Yeah, it's a lot more extreme compared to a valley. Valley with the mountains will be further apart, but a gorge, the cliffs are closer together. It's a lot narrower, and it's one of Taiwan's top tourist attractions. A tourist, of course, is a person who travels to another place for fun. And, of course, Taiwan has all sorts of tourist attractions, the Palace Museum, Kending, Alishan, and, of course, Taroko Gorge. Now, the park covers a pretty large area here, 920 square kilometers of land, which is rich in marble-walled canyons, winding tunnels, and waterfalls. They're all amidst a sea of green vegetation. So, first of all, I think the main attraction to Taroko National Park is the gorge. The actual national park covers a large area, but the main attraction, as I said, is the gorge itself. It features marble-walled canyons. Canyon is like a gorge, basically. A canyon is usually bigger, like the Grand Canyon in the USA or Copper Canyon in Mexico. But in this case, it's marble-walled. That means the walls of the canyon or the gorge are made of marble, which is a kind of rock.
Oh, it's beautiful. They also have winding tunnels. If something winds, it's not a straight line. It goes sort of in a curved kind of shape. So you've got these winding tunnels and waterfalls all amidst means in the middle of a sea of green vegetation. And, of course, vegetation just refers to all the plants and the trees and, oh, the beautiful greenery there. Right now, guys, we're going to listen for a few minutes to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要来看的是一篇旅游文章，我们要带大家去认识一下花莲。就像标题里面说的，提到花莲，它是一个 spectacular scenic 花莲，那意思就是它景观非常的奇特，风景非常的美丽。我们就要来跟大家从它的地理景观还有它的历史成分说起，因为它的名字的来源是很特别的。我们来看第一句话，说到它的地理位置呢，其实这一句话一开头写的是一个倒装句。怎么说呢？本来你讲花莲位于哪里，我们注意到动词在中间的 lies， 所以你说的主词是应该是 beautiful 花莲 county， 花莲是主词，位置在哪里，位置摆在最前面， on the rugged east coast of Taiwan。 好，那这个地方当你把一个表示地方的这样整个介系词片语放到前面来，然后呢再写动词，再写它的主词，这就是一个标准的倒装句。当然为什么要倒装，其实有一个很简单的理由，就是在这个花莲后面还有一个逗点隔开的一个修饰语，它的主词其实还算蛮长的，还要讲它是一个 a heaven for nature lovers， 所以说整个主词这么长，你把它的焦点放在这边，我们就可以用倒装句。再来我们看下面呢，它继续说明花莲这个地方，尤其是他的人，他的名字怎么来的？其实他说到他的名字哦，以前并不叫花莲，他其实跟以前有一个台湾的原住民，这个原住民的名字有关，所以他原来的名字叫做奇来。那可是呢，到了1851年，汉族人到这里以后，那注意到说这个地方哈、哦，它有一个河口三角洲里面回旋的水流，所以它的原名 Huilan， 这个原来英文这个拼字是讲回蓝。好，我们再来看看这里有一个句型要注意，这句话里面牵涉到直到什么时候才怎么样，那It wasn't until 1851 that， 好，注意到像这样的句构我们在高中其实常常看到，那我们也知道它的中文就是直到什么时候才怎么样，它本来就是一个分裂句型，你要强调的就是那个时间， 1851年，要到这时候，然后才会有这个名字重新命名的结果。好了，除了这个句型之外，我们要再来认识的是花莲这里，它景观上有没有什么奇特的地方，我们应该要去注意来观赏的呢？以下就提到了三个美丽的地点，下面这一段就先提到太鲁阁国家公园。外国人到这里，他们想到的是他这里真的景观非常的特别，而且他还说这里其实就是 home to Taraco Gorge。 我们知道 home to 它的介系词 to 后面接名词，就是表示是什么的大本营，是什么的发源地。所以其实太鲁阁国家公园它就是太鲁阁峡谷的发源地。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson, everybody. Where we left off, we were talking about Taraco Gorge, which is one of Taiwan's top tourist attractions. It's probably the top tourist attraction in Hualien County itself. We talked about the winding tunnels, the marble-walled canyons, and the waterfalls, not to mention all the vegetation. Taroko's diverse environments also contain almost all of the biogeographical zones in Taiwan. I didn't know that. This, of course, is a large area, and it contains almost all of the biogeographical zones in Taiwan. So bio means having to do with life, and geography, of course, is dili, which of course has to do with land and the position of things in the land and stuff like that. So basically you're going to have all sorts of diversity here, different kinds of plants, different kinds of animals. If you're talking about zones, you're talking about just different kinds of areas, like zones in a city. This is an industrial zone, this is a commercial zone, this is a residential zone.
Yeah, there are time zones across the world where people recognize a certain time of the day to be that time. For example, I think China isn't just one time zone, but in the U.S., we have several time zones. It's a way to separate different kinds of things, to categorize something. In Taiwan, this makes it a perfect sanctuary for half of the island's plant and animal species. A sanctuary is a place of refuge or safety, and you'll often see things like an animal sanctuary or a bird sanctuary, a place where that particular species is cared for and protected.
That's right. So it's a sanctuary for all sorts of plants and animals, different kinds of plants and animal species, so they are protected there because it is a national park. Hopefully they can be preserved for many years to come. Okay, let's move on now to the real jewel of Taroko. Of course, you've got lots of wonderful things in Taroko National Park. You've got the canyon, you've got the marble walls, but the real jewel, the thing that's the most valuable, is the Liwu River, whose course to the sea has carved deep valleys and ravines through the rock over many, many centuries, millennia, thousands, if not millions of years, this river has been flowing to the sea. So through its course to the sea, it has carved these deep valleys. If you carve something, usually you take away something from a hard substance. Usually carvers will carve pieces of wood. They will carve statues out of pieces of wood or stone or whatever. And so the river has just carved these deep valleys and also these ravines. A ravine is kind of like a valley here. It's very deep, though, and very narrow.
That's right. It is a little smaller, I would say, than a gorge. It seems like a similar definition to gorge if you look them both up. You might think, what's the difference? A ravine is smaller to me. Besides its magnificent beauty, this river was once famous for gold panning, a trend that can be traced back to the 17th century. Oh, I've gold panned or pan for gold many times. If it's magnificent, guys, this is a word that you save to describe things that are truly breathtakingly beautiful. Extravagant, beautiful. It could be something in nature, but it could be something that someone has built, like a castle for a king. It's magnificent. That's the adjective form. Now, this river was once famous for gold panning. If you pan for gold, you take just a pan. Actually, it looks like a pie plate, pie pan, and you swirl water around, and you're looking for little nuggets of rocks that hopefully are gold.
Maybe not nuggets. That would be really lucky there. I think you're just looking for little flakes.
Oh, I got nuggets, Tom. No,
really,
you're looking
big.
For nuggets, yeah.
Not well, when I panned for it, they were all just little specks of gold.
Oh, really?
But that, of course, is here in Taiwan. At Jingguasha, you can pan for gold there.
I did it in Arizona.
Okay, well, then you must be rich now if you got nuggets.
I got a nugget.
Okay, well, in any case, this is a trend, which is basically the general direction or the theme in which something is going. So this is a trend that can be traced back to the 17th century, I guess. Lots of people have been panning for gold in Taroko for a long time.
That's right. Well, no trip to Hualien would be complete without visiting Qixing Tan, which is a beautiful beach. Tan means beach, so I guess I don't need that beach in English.
Well, Tan actually is lake there, but they're calling it Qixing Tan Lake, which is beach, which is like a 7-star lake beach.
Yeah, which is weird, but that's what we get when we try to translate things. So if something's not complete without something else, it means you must see this, or you'll feel like you missed the best part, or one of the essential parts of a trip. So this body of water is actually a crescent-shaped bay and serves as an excellent place to view the 7 stars of the Big Dipper. Oh, I didn't know that, actually. When I went there, I didn't see the 7 stars of the Big Dipper. I think you have to be there late at night to do that. Again, if it's crescent-shaped, I think of pastry that we like to eat, croissant, which is shaped crescent-like as well. The moon will sometimes be shaped in a crescent when it's going through its different, what do you call those?
Phases.
Phases of the moon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A bay is just a body of water that where the land curves inward and it just comes into the sea. It's ocean water. It's salt. It's not fresh, but it's some water that you can see there. Have you been there yourself, Tom?
Yeah, a couple of times, actually. It's a nice place. It's wonderful. You can rent a bicycle there and ride around. Hang out. It's pretty cool. Qixing Tan Beach. And again, it's a crescent-shaped bay. So you said bays are usually in the ocean, but I've seen them in lakes as well, just a part of the main body of water that kind of sticks into the land a little bit, and that's different from a harbor. A harbor is where you have ships and stuff sending stuff in and out of a place, where a bay is just the water itself. And so there you have it, crescent-shaped bay or Qixing Tan Bay there, and it's a place to view the 7 stars of the Big Dipper, which is Beidou Qixing, I believe, in Chinese. The Big Dipper is a constellation in the northern sky. It's also called Ursa Major, which means the big bear of the sky. Okay, so indeed you can see this there. It inspired the name of the beach, so that's why they call it Qixing Tan.
I was just looking at the dictionary, Tom, and you love British English yourself. They actually refer to a roller coaster as a Big Dipper.
Really?
So if you're ever in England or in any of the Great Britain areas themselves and you hear a Big Dipper, it just is a roller coaster.
Well, no wonder the last time I went to Blackpool and I was asking them where the roller coaster was.
Yeah.
They thought I was crazy. You ignorant American, don't you know that here in England it's called the Big Dipper?
Fun. Hmm.
Now
yeah.
You know.
Well, here are some of the sites that you can see when you go to Hualien. It says there at the end, the site of which inspired the beach's name, which means 7 Stars Lake. So now we've translated it fully for you. So beyond some of that stuff, we're going to be talking about some of the food that's really popular in that area and some of the sporting activities you can participate in as well. I know I've gone on about, 7 or 8 hikes
okay.
There, but I've never been in the water in that area. Oh, actually, I did go to the beach once when there was a typhoon and the waves were really high. It was kind of exciting.
It would be very exciting, especially during a typhoon. But, of course, you'd be really crazy, insane, nuts to actually go into the ocean during a typhoon. Only weird foreigners would do something like that because they are exhibitionists. Well, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. It's time now to turn things over to our Chinese teacher.
我们继续来看。提到了泰鲁格国家公园，那这里呢，它有多样化的环境，而且这里的生物物种非常的多。好，我们来看到这句话的结构有一点复杂，因为我们在这里提了 biogeographical zones in Taiwan 之后呢，有个逗点，逗点后面再写 which makes it a perfect sanctuary for half of the island's plant and animal species。好，我们知道 which。它本身就是关键点，因为它是所谓的关系代名词，但是你前面有逗点，那是非限定用法，而这个地方的 which 它所指的其实指它前面那一整句话的描述，说到它这样多样化的环境，那这一整个的描述让它成为好，所以记得这样子的 which它是非限定用法，逗点隔开代表前面整句的描述。再来下一段呢，它有说到还有一个点，这里是利物西，在利物西呢当然一样风光明媚，我们知道大家想去这里，因为呢这个河流曾经淘金闻名，而且它还说到这个部分的历史可以追溯到17世纪。好，提到追溯，提到往前回溯，这里有一个片语就是 be traced back to。 好，我们常常用，要特别注意。好，最后这边还有一个地方，大家如果往下读，再来介绍第三个景点，他提到花莲之旅，到这里一定得要造访的地方叫七星潭。那我们来看一下这句的结构，我们知道它这句话它用 no 开头，而后面中间看到一个 without， 我们知道 without 是没有，它如果再放到否定句里面，两个否定的意思含义加起来就变成肯定了。所以当你说到 no trip to Hualien would be complete without， 这个意思是说如果没有到七星潭，那这个整个旅程就不完整了。换句话说，到七星潭这样子才能让你整个的花莲之旅变得完整。那最后我们再看七星潭它的命名的来源，不过这里有一个 The Big Dipper， 我们知道 Big Dipper 是在讲北斗七星。好，这跟它七星潭的名字当然大有关联，不过在句构上呢，在 The Big Dipper 后面看到逗点，再来他写 The site of which inspired the beach's name。 我们知道 The site of which 这个地方有一点特别，因为你看到的 which 这个字它又是关键字，因为它是关系代名词，可是它取代的很明显就是前面的 The Big Dipper。 那 The site of which表示说其实这一句跟前面那句我们如果要把它接起来，一个写法是你用 AND 写 AND the site of the Big Dipper inspired blah blah blah， 当然你也可以把后半句就是变成它现在这样的写法，用关带然后当连接词连接起来。好，我们今天讲解到此结束，我们下次见。
That is it for today's lesson, but that is not it for Hualien. We could talk about Hualien for days and days, and we're going to continue talking about Hualien in our next program, especially about some of the fun outdoor activities that you could consider doing. So please join us then when we continue to talk about the wonders of Hualien. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.